Right. That's right. And there is a third, okay, and the third ingredient of this equation is that it has thermal fluctuations. In the deterministic case, okay.
There is an experiment that free energy is one you get by integrating the loss distribution on that function with the fluctuation exponential minus beta f function control dc. That has an experiment.
I mean, what
is like an infield function? Because normally you get complete fluctuating field theory, and that has an H theorem.
What I know is that you have an H theorem. I mean, the Fokker-Planck equation, as any Fokker-Planck equation, the Fokker-Planck equation that would correspond to this stochastic differential equation.
Yes, the Boltzmann distribution of that is exponential minus beta.
Yeah.
So the H theorem is not T by T of F is negative when you have the noise. There's something else, which is the full free energy, including fluctuation.
Okay, it's F log F. The interval of F log F. Yeah, okay. Okay, so.
Because all of what you say is true with the former, in the sense that if you go into high dimension,
All what he said came out in the discrete equations. So now we would like to discretize this equation. And the first thing is that we cannot use directly these weighted residuals because we don't know what to put here for the random force. But what we can do, we can. I'm going to split the problem first without thermal fluctuations, and I will introduce thermal fluctuations later. So, without thermal fluctuations, we can actually use the weighted residuals. So basically, we integrate, we substitute C for C bar equal to the sum of psi mu of R C mu. And then we integrate everything with respect to the discretization operator. So at the end of the day, what we get is dr delta mu of r dtc of r t. But this is bar, so I'm using here psi nu of r c nu of t. So this is actually the derivative of this object. And it will be equal to minus the integral of delta mu of r, the gradient of the mobility, c bar, the gradient of the functional derivative of the free energy. And this by the orthogonality condition, it's delta mu, so this is c dot mu of t equals this. Now, the problem is with this animal here, because this is the gradient of the functional derivative of the free energy. So we have to do something with that. So the first thing you have to do is to say what is the free energy at the discrete level. It will be a function of the discrete values. And the thing that we choose is simply the functional energy evaluated at the interpolated, like phi mu of r, phi mu. This becomes a simple function of the discrete values, and we find this as our free energy at the discrete level. Okay. So now we can start. First thing we do is take the derivative of this. We need to take the functional derivative, so it has a dr delta of f delta of c of r evaluated at psi mu r psi mu. And then the derivative of the argument, which is psi mu of r. Okay? We still cannot do much, but. No, I'm not considering. You mean this gradient?
No, the free energy. Gradient of C squared.
green.
When you write the free energy,
yes.
You said before you're going to have K grad C squared. You have kink, so I'm asking, do you take it right or left, or it is like
actually? Yeah, about that. I haven't thought about that. But we'll go back to that. Okay? Let's see what happens. Okay.
Discretized C, which is a continuous function. It just happens to be triangular, but it's continuous. And you evaluate the squared radius of free energy on that function. And because it's only got first derivative, I think that's completely well defined. If you have a Laplace, you'd be in trouble.
No, but
it's
at the kink, so that the gradient could be different on the right or left. When you put the range goes up with the cross.
It doesn't matter because that the curly up there is evaluated in the continuum on the triangulated function.
The gradient is not continuous, but it's zero.
The gradient is that.
Okay. Okay. But what we would like to have is an expression for this object which is buried in this integral. So what we are going to do is to multiply this over mu delta mu of r. And I put a prime here, delta mu of r. Now this object, it has two indices. It's a function of r and r prime. And it has this form. When you use as your psi functions your finite elements, and this is given by the mass matrix of the finite element, this function has a form like this. And it decays exponentially fast, and it's different from zero only in the neighborhood of the node mu. So if it happens that this object here, that the free energy does not change much in the length scale of the lattice spacing, in that case, we can take this acts like a delta, ordinary delta, Dirac delta function. So we can take this outside the integral, and another property is that the integral of this object is one. It's normalized. You can prove that. So at the end of the day, what we have is an expression for the functional derivative evaluated at psi mu c mu, it has this form. So we have now an expression for the functional derivative in terms of the free energy that we have defined. And the only assumption is this, is that the fields do not change much and the length of scale of the lattice spacing, which is reasonable. But now we are almost done because... sorry? Okay. In the deterministic case, yes. So we are almost done because we are here. So we can put this expression of the... We first integrate by parts. So. This is the minus sign, dr delta mu of r. The mobility depends on c of r. And now this object here, we have a sum over nu, the gradient of delta nu of r, derivative of f of c nu. And this object here, it's a matrix, so it's minus the sum over a matrix Z mu nu df dc nu. It's a matrix that in general depends on the C's, which we should use as this C, the C bar, that depends on the discrete variable. So this is nonlinear, it depends on the C's. So this is the final equation for the discretization of Kahn-Hillier. It's d mu nu, derivative of free energy C nu, which has several nice properties. First of all, because of the properties of these delta functions, you can show that the sum over mu of the volume d mu nu is zero, where the volume is the volume below the finite element. So this is a property that you can derive. So this equation conserves the total number of particles. The second interesting thing is that this, by its structure, is positive definite. So automatically this object, this equation will have a f as a Lyapunov functional. It goes to zero. This is positive semi-definite because this implies that these volumes are an eigenvector of null eigenvalue. But apart from that, which is the conservation of mass, it's well defined. Okay, and the third thing is now let's go for the fluctuations. And I don't know how much time do I have left.
I think there's some flexibility.
Okay. I think. Oh yeah. Okay. Five, 10 minutes, yeah. Okay, so we have this equation, it's deterministic, and now we want to transform this discrete equation into a stochastic differential equation. And what are the criteria for transforming? How do we do that? So the first thing that we would like to have is that the probability that the resulting stochastic scheme has an equilibrium ensemble precisely e to the minus beta, the discrete free energy. Okay, this is the main thing that we want to have. So now it's going to be we need a Fokker-Planck equation, and we could write down the Fokker-Planck equation by heart. It has to be something like this. The probability of C at time t is going to be to the minus dc. In the connection between Fokker-Planck and Langevin equations, we always should have in mind that the first derivatives in the Fokker-Planck equation produce the drift term, the deterministic part of the Langevin equation. And the second derivatives are the responsible for the noise. When the diffusion of the Fokker-Planck equation depends on the state, you have to worry about Ito Stratonovic, but we know at least that the first derivative terms of the Fokker-Planck equation have to be of this form. On P of C, T. And now we need the second derivative. And just by requiring this, we almost can produce it is evident that if we insert this here, we have a minus. We have a minus beta kBt, which is 1. So this term will be equal to this one. And this is actually the equilibrium ensemble, the equilibrium measure of this Fokker-Planck equation. So no interpretation. This is Fokker-Planck.
Okay, so you're going to try to match that with
your previous paper. Right. In principle, we have finished. This is the description of the stochastic Cahen-Hilliard. Of course, if we want to make numerical simulations, this is a partial differential equation. If you are only interested in averages, it's more economical to go to the stochastic differential equation and run the stochastic differential equation to compute the averages. Otherwise, you would need to solve this equation, which is a partial differential equation in a highly multidimensional space. So it's definitely we want to have the stochastic differential equations of this Fokker-Planck equation. And it's a standard. We just have to read, we have to put this behind the second derivatives. And of course, in order to do that, this produces a drift term here. But apart from that, the receipt is this one. D is minus d mu nu df dc nu dt plus kbt d mu nu dc nu. This term, it's here because d in general depends on the state variables dt, plus a random noise that the prescription, this is Ito, this is Ito, and what we know is that dc mu, it's going to be a linear combination of Wiener processes such that its variance, it's 2kBt d mu nu dt. And now the problem is, what linear combinations should we take? One possibility would be to take the square root of this diffusion matrix, which is a very big thing. I mean, it's a matrix of the size of the mesh. So the nice thing is that we can we can compute this square root matrix in explicit form in a more elegant way, I would say, which is the following. You see, by comparison, this object here, the noise, has to do with this bit here. I mean, you see, this is the discrete part of this object. This bit, we don't worry, it has to do with a stochastic interpretation. It's not important at this point. And this is the purely stochastic term that is related to this object here. So what we do is, and how did we arrive at this equation? More or less by multiplying the above equation by the discretization function. So let's try the following proposal, which is saying that dc dt is the integral over dr, the gradient of delta mu of r, the gradient of this stochastic flux. That's basically, this is what we are doing here. So we take the gradient or partial integration. And now let's see what is this object here. This is the gradient of delta mu of r, which is this mass, the inverse of the mass matrix times the gradient of psi mu. If we look at in two dimensions, and we have a grid which is triangulated in this way. This is the node mu. This psi mu, it's a pyramid. You should look at this, a pyramid popping out from the blackboard, which has linear faces. So the gradient of this object are vectors, constant vectors within the triangle, in this element or this sub-element of this cell. So this is a vector that of the element E. This is the E element that is pointing towards mu. In principle, if we look at different nodes, we will have for every element three vectors, but this is the vector that is pointing to this. So this is essentially m mu nu minus 1. The gradient will be the sum over all the elements of nu, of this is nu, of b, of e pointing to nu, this is the vector here, times the characteristic function of this element. So if we plug this here, it's going to be m mu nu minus 1, the sum over e, all the elements of integral of dr, the characteristic function of this noise. And now we could call this. This is going to be a sum of Wiener processes. So we define this to be another Wiener process. It's a vector Wiener process associated to the element E. And it has the properties that omega E d omega E prime, it's 2kBT, the mobility of the element, a volume element, and dt. Now what you could prove, okay. So this basically, how do I explain this? This is basically a Wiener process with this amplitude. It's a Wiener, for every element in this triangulation, we have a noise. And these are independent noise for the rest of the elements. And what we can assure is that the variance of this noise, if we take this to be the amplitude of this noise, then this follows. I don't have time to show it, but it's so in a sense. We know now everything about this discrete model because we know how to produce this noise. It's this object. It is sum over nu and mu nu minus 1, sum of all the elements of nu, b of e going to nu, 2kBT, mu of the element, volume of the element, 1/2 dWe. And this is a Wiener process, a vector Wiener process. Done. So we have the stochastic differential equation that corresponds to this Fokker-Planck equation, where these noise amplitudes given explicitly by this expression fulfill the fluctuation dissipation theorem. And that's all what I wanted to say.
So questions?
Now there have to be questions. You should have questions.
Satisfied between the scale and the street level, there is huge literature. But The big difficulty here is that if you want to get an error estimate into what exactly it is that you are computing, the problem is still defined. It says that there is no, the SPV you start from is still defined. I mean, if you're in higher dimension than one, you cannot give a meaning to this equation. No to the image measure that you
To this one?
No, this one you can. This one, of course, you can. The problem is that if you were to do, if you were to repeat your calculation, for example, by taking small and small discretization, it's not clear that the result will converge to anything, and probably it won't, actually. What you're going to get is that the random field to which you will converge it will be very bad and nasty.
Well, I'm
I can explain to you in a nutshell what's the difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
The difficulty is that the way you want to give the meaning to this conversion which is there, right, is that you want to take the gradient part and isolate that and say this is the Brillouin sheet which I know how to define. And then you want to take the potential part and say that's the radical derivative of the measure I want to have with respect to the one of the Brillouin sheet. And then you end up immediately having a problem, which is that this random derivative is not measurable with respect to the Brillouin sheet, because the Brillouin sheet is too rough. So if you have anything that is non-linear in F, it's not in the right space. So that's at that level. At the level of the SPV, it's even worse. Which is the level of the SPV, there is no linear term in this equation, and the dimension is too high. But really that the solution, that's a distribution. So you don't know what to interpret anything that is non-linear.
Okay, so
you're stuck. I mean, so if you say, this is my model, if the star is there and you use Pythagorean dissipation, you're fine, but then you need to realize that you're tied up to one specific discretization. That if you change the discretization,
Okay. Yes, but I have this intuition that if we do the, your comments are equally valid for fluctuating hydrodynamics, right?
Yeah.
But my feeling is that if you have a colloidal particle surrounded by these nodes which are fluctuating, and it is true that as you make the cells smaller, the more violent the random forces are. That's right. This is this volume here that it blows up things. But the fluctuations on the colloidal particle, the total velocity fluctuations of the colloidal particle, should not depend on the resolution you are taking. So in that sense, I think this has to work. I mean, in a real mathematical sense, probably this. Yes, maybe it's not. I don't understand what you said. I'm sorry, but I don't have the knowledge to. But my feeling is that if you are looking to continuum limits of observable things, they should exist.
What you say, more like a physical explanation, is why. I'm just trying to understand from an mathematical viewpoint. Am I talking about starting from an SPE and do a standard finite difference type discretization to get some discretized equation that I can then assess what the error I'm making? Or is this all a formal derivation to actually do modeling essentially and say this is my starting point equation? Because the first thing you can do, what I was saying before, is that if you start with the SPDE and you really try to derive things from it, that doesn't work. So if this is meant at the level of modeling, as so a guideline to, you know, to get
like a interesting point of view, the fact is that the continuum coarse-grained, the continuum equations like Carlin, the coarse-grained equation, and if you try to reduce them to mesh size on that equation to the point where it starts to see the discrete particles, everything blows up and goes wrong. And
think that's probably what you're saying. I think the constructive point is that a proper way to understand that equation is to say it's actually a way of writing down a discrete but finite cellular process with a finite resolution, which is going to look like this. Mm. And that you can understand that as the kind of big shorthand notation for a discrete set of equations like this.
That's my point of
in itself it doesn't make any sense as continuing.
Right, but the difficulty then is that there were many choices there.
Yes.
Like Galerkin, you know, so which one will you be? If there was an underlying SPU, yeah, it would eventually be all equivalent results with such an error that I can control. Okay. Whereas here it's a model, so every model is slightly different. So which one would you be?
They're not the same. And depending on what condition you choose, the discrete equation should change because those coefficients could be near the function coefficient, all in principle, and they do depend.
There is. You have to shout it, otherwise you don't get the word.
Maybe if there were a way to sort of go between two things by saying, okay, I'm going to formulate whatever is a test PPE, but I'm only going to ask questions about certain things. Like I only care about what are the effects on a particle of this size, right? The only way you get in trouble is when you ask pointwise questions.
That's right. That's right.
So maybe what you can do is you specify the questions ahead of time. And then there's a discretization that might not be tied necessarily. You might say, I want to sort of deal with colleagues of this size, but my resolution, or whatever we can discretize the thing, could be independent, and maybe the questions about what's happened to Cowboy could be independent of the choice of resolution.
That's very true. The problem is that if you take this PD, there are no problems.
That's true. But just one comment. We did this test with SDPD, which is a very crude way of discretizing Navier-Stokes with particles, with Lagrangian particles. And we did observe actually this effect that the velocities of the DPD particles were very fast as you reduce the size, but the variance of the velocity of this remain constant all the time. But it's true that here that you are posing a different question is whether if we look at this discrete equation and we start measuring like domains and things like that, I mean, can we do the same?
Here's quite a I can construct simple stochastic PDE and a macroscopic observable that depends on the discrete. So it's not true that just because you look at microscopic
control,
you cannot see this effect here.
And
I can show that.
Okay.
That is more dangerous because you have this square value of C squared. Well, you don't need any time. Maybe, you know, that one is okay. That's a Gaussian P. That one is fine. The non-linearity.
Okay, so should we continue the discussion?
Okay, thanks.